I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Presenting the reigning, defending, undisputed UFC lightweight champion of the world.
Laura Fernandez, welcome to MMA Podden.
Hello, Paul. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Nice to have you. We are going to talk about Spanish MMA, and all the listeners, they know that I am half Spanish, that I always keep a close eye on the Spanish MMA scene, and I have a feeling that it's growing, and we are going to talk about that today.
It is growing very fast indeed, and mainly because of the Ilia Topuria effect.
Yeah.
He actually had a media day two weeks ago, before heading to America, to Las Vegas. And it was full of media, full of people, full of influencers. He had one the year before fighting Bryce Mitchell. And then he did another one before fighting Volkanovski. And it was crazy. So many media.
Exciting. I want to ask you about that in a little bit. But first, I want to know, who is Laura and how did you get into MMA?
Okay, well, I'm a sports journalist in Spain, a sports presenter too. And I was also an athlete myself. I was a tennis player. And I have always connected to sports communication. When I was studying in New York, I was in my junior year of college, and they came to interview me, the media of New York, and they asked me, "You're about to graduate, what do you want to do?" And I was like, "I'm thinking of getting into sports broadcasting." And they were like, "No way." I was like, yeah, that's something that has always been on my mind. And they were like, why don't you join us and do an internship with us and see what we can do? So that's how I started working on media. I started doing a little show that was covering college sports, and that's how I started.
Uh-huh. And how did you get into MMA?
It was honestly because of Joe Rogan, because during the pandemic, I was thinking that I wanted to start a podcast because I liked the idea of having long conversations and sharing my thoughts. And I have always liked it, you know, like with journalism and everything. So I was like, but I want to do something more personal, maybe interviews, maybe related to sports, but in a different way. And I started looking what's out there, who is doing podcasts, who is the biggest podcaster in the world, what can I copy from him? And then I started listening to Joe Rogan, and he was talking about MMA so passionate and about UFC so passionate that I started doing some interviews to some MMA fighters. And I did Joel Alvarez, I did Ilia Topuria, I did Juan Espino, and that's how I started. Then Eurosport bought the TV rights for MMA, for UFC, and they were like, "Oh, she's good, she's a journalist, and she can also talk about MMA, so why don't you join us?" And I was like, okay, and that's how I started.
Okay, so it's Joe Rogan's fault.
It is Joe Rogan's fault. I can't wait to meet him. I was hoping that I would meet him when I was going to go to Anaheim to cover Topuria's fight. But it turns out I can't go because I'm a freelancer, and Warner is like not allowing freelancers to travel outside of Europe. So I was going, and then they just told me a week ago that I'm not going. So I will be hosting the show in Madrid. I will not be meeting Joe Rogan.
I actually met
too bad.
The funny thing is that I did meet Joe Rogan in Anaheim.
You did?
Yes, because I went, when I worked with Viaplay, we went to Anaheim Honda Center to do commentary on Jones DC 2, on the second one. Mm-hmm. So we were there, ringside, next to Joe Rogan. So I met him
Wow.
really quick. And I also met The Rock like at the same time. So I got I got the opportunity to meet him. And a lot of people in Sweden call me the Swedish Joe Rogan because I used to do stand-up comedy also.
Mm-hmm.
And that
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. So I did stand-up comedy.
Nice.
I used to do stand-up comedy and I did MMA. And then when I got the commentary role, they were like, dude, now you're really Joe Rogan. And then I also started a podcast, which is called Open Mind, which is Joe Rogan-esque. And then people like, dude, everything you do is like Joe Rogan.
He's
a big influence on everybody.
How is he in person? Is he nice?
I met him very quick and I could see that he wanted to leave, but he wanted to say hi to The Rock. So
yeah,
I mean, I saw him during the broadcast, but then we were sitting close but never got the opportunity. So when I saw him there, it's like every fighter was waiting for The Rock to get a picture. And then I was like, hey, I do commentary in Sweden. And he was like, hey, nice to meet you. He was super polite, but I could also see that he was like, he just wanted to say hi to The Rock and then leave. So, and as soon as The Rock came and he said hi, he was like, okay, let's go. He took his wife and then pew, they just bounced. But he was nice. He was nice. So fun thing, good. If you would have gone to Anaheim and met him, that would have been a super coincidence.
Yeah, I would have met him first time in Anaheim too. Uh-huh. Crazy.
Uh-huh. Awesome. But tell me more about your role now with Eurosport. Do you do commentary and just tell me everything you do for Eurosport?
Okay, I have done commentary. It's not what I like most. I have done the leading commentary. I do it in tennis too because I work also for DAZN in Spain, which is another media broadcaster. And I do tennis commentary too there, but I don't love it for some reason. I like more the behind the scenes, the interviews, presenting the show. That's what I like. I think it suits me more. I don't really like. I also do them always every year, the Dana White Contender Series. Mm. That one is really funny because it's more like a show, you know. It's like you talk about the fighters, then you talk about the fight, and it's a little bit more of everything. It's just like commenting the fights is fight. It's, I don't know. It's not my favorite thing to do. I have done it. I could do it, but it's not what I like most. But I present the show that is called El Club de Eurosport, and it's not only UFC. We do boxing too. We talk about boxing. I interview the fighters. I cover events. And I am also the show's editor, so I decide what goes on the show, mm-hmm. who comes on the show, and what goes on. I would like to do more. Sometimes, you know, there's not enough money for what I would love to do.
I
but
know
that's
the feeling.
Basically what I do.
Yeah.
I would love to do more things, to travel more, to interview more people, to add more stuff to the show, but little by little, you know, Eurosport bought the rights of UFC 2 years ago. We're into the third year and we have been developing slowly but surely. So we're growing every year, and at least I have that. We're growing.
I'm exciting because, I mean, Sweden is a small country. We are about 10 something million plus people in the country. And I think in Spain, you're like 40, almost 50 million, right?
Mm-hmm.
Roundabout.
Yeah,
do you country, know yeah. how many people watch the UFC? Do you know?
They don't like to share too much with us. They to keep it secret. But I know that sometimes they do share when, for example, they were comparing, because football in Spain is huge, in Europe is huge, but in Spain is even more. And it's the king of sports here. And it's like it makes big numbers every weekend on TV. And sometimes when we had, for example, I remember it was Atletico de Madrid versus Celta, which are two teams that are pretty decent in Spain. And I remember Joel Álvarez was fighting at the same time. He did more numbers than that Atletico de Madrid Celta. So that was really good. When there's a Spanish fighter fighting, we have a very big numbers. That's why also UFC is looking at Spain to come maybe this year or next year to host an event here too, because numbers are growing. And when Topuria fought, I know we broke some sort of record too. They're not very clear. They don't want to share too much. But we broke some sort of record also. Eurosport is not the biggest media broadcaster in Spain. Movistar is. And they were very eager to buy Topuria's fight because they know the numbers that we're doing. And they know we're doing great with numbers. I would say UFC is the jewel of the crown for Eurosport. not counting on tennis grand slams, because Australian Open, we did really huge numbers, maybe like half a million in the final, for example, you know, half a million. But if we don't count the grand slams, the tennis grand slams, I think UFC is the jewel of the crown so far for Eurosport. They're very happy with UFC.
Interesting.
Yeah,
because I know when I started doing MMA things, and I told my cousins and tíos y tías from Spain, my uncles and aunts, they didn't even know what MMA was. So when I tried to explain, they didn't have a clue. Now I see that something has changed. But how much of a change have you seen the last 5 years?
Not even the last 5 years. I would say the last 2 years is mainly Topuria, the Topuria effect, because I think you started 2009, right? 2009, 2010. That was, people didn't even know what MMA was even, like, let alone UFC. They started realizing what it was when Conor McGregor, now you say someone in Spain, do you know who Conor McGregor is? They're like, yeah, the UFC guy. And in the last 2 years with Ilia Topuria, people are like, I'm not really into UFC, but I really want to see what Ilia Topuria is going to do on February 17th. I heard he's fighting this Volkanovski guy. He's really good. You know, people that don't even follow MMA, they want to know what Topuria is going to do on Saturday. So they're starting to know what UFC is because of Ilia Topuria.
Then I have a question, because Sergio Ramos went to watch Ilia fight. I think it was the Emmett fight. Was there any effect from Ramos going to watch Ilia? I mean, because Ramos is a super mega star in Spain.
For sure. I mean, people acknowledged it. They were like, oh, Ramos was there too. But it's not the Ramos effect. Ilia is big enough on his own to not need Ramos going to support him. It was like more... like the fact that Ramos was there, it validated it more. Like, oh, even Ramos is following it. But it's not that because Ramos was there, people were more curious about it. People already knew. And also Ramos, he like 5 years ago, 3 years ago, he already wanted to get into MMA because he knows that it's growing. And he was searching for ways to start an MMA promoter, to have MMA events here in Spain. And also Piqué, he's behind it too. They're like some big names are searching for ways to start a promotion here.
How many promotions are there in Spain that are 100% Spanish?
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We have a few, but we have two main ones, which are WOW and AFL. And those are the main ones. And Alex Topuria, he fought in WOW. His last fight, it was in WOW and he won. And he's just waiting for the UFC call because he's already signed with UFC. And then AFL, Joel Alvarez, for example, he did his last five fights in AFL and he won, and he won the belt of AFL, and the UFC called him. So they're decent. They're very decent promoters.
In what state are they in? Or town, city?
WOW is mainly based in Madrid, but they're going to have an event in Sevilla, I think, in March. And AFL, is also, well, they're based in Barcelona, but they had their last shows, their last events, they had them in Madrid, and they had a very successful one in the Canary Island, and some in Barcelona too. So mainly the big cities, you know, Madrid, Barcelona, Canary Islands too, they have a big MMA fan base.
Okay. Because we have a lot of fighters coming from time to not a lot, but some fighters that come to Sweden and fight. Etcher Sosa is the one I think that has been here the most. He's fighting for FCR and has done really good, and he's actually gotten a strong fan base from Sweden.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. He's an audience favorite. So when he fights, a lot of eyes are on him. So they like him over here.
Yeah.
Which is good.
We're expecting big things from Etcher. He's just a couple of fights away from getting the call from UFC. I think he just needs to have a more flashy victory finish the fight with a KO. Mm.
So let's go back to
UFC likes that.
For sure. Let's go back to Ilya. What would you say is it that makes Ilya so special that more eyes are on him? Because I'm guessing that it's not just the fighting.
Yeah, I would say many things from Ilya. He's very professional to begin with. He takes things very, very serious, and he's done things that nobody has done before, like the media day. No fighter has ever done that. He is very well surrounded by people that know a lot about marketing, about being in the right place at the right time, having the right contacts. He's friends with a very popular singer here in Spain called Omar Montes. Omar Montes is friends with the biggest presenter in Spain of a talk show, entertainment show. And he had Ilya on the show twice, which made him mainstream already. You know, he's very strategic, and also he's very hard worker. So he's really good on the cage, but also outside the cage. And we were missing that in Spain because we had good fighters. We had Juan Espino, Enrique Wasabi, Joel Alvarez, but they were not really media friendly. I would say they were not smart like that to go out of their way to build up an Instagram audience and go to events, be known, you know, show up and do all these crazy things that Ilya is doing and is drawing a lot of attention.
Because you said the media day also, which goes into this question. And you said earlier that it was a lot of people there. What kind of people were at this media day?
So he had the first one was before the Bryce Mitchell fight, and it was a different one. He was like more showing off. He was fighting with his brother, and then he was talking a little bit after. But this one was more professional, more serious. In the first one, there were more like influencers, not many media. It was only Eurosport, Marca, three more from sports media, and that was pretty much it. But now he was full of media and all kinds of media, the national TV, many national channels that are not even covering sports, you know, because Ilya Topuria now is a thing. So all kinds of media covering the event. Many people, a lot of fans, a lot of influencers, big influencers we're talking about, not small influencers. And this presenter, the singer that I was talking about, these kind of people, they're like VIP people in Spain now. And they came just for this event to support Ilya, to show that they're with him and that they care about him. You know, it was like more a VIP media day, and with a lot of media for sure. You could tell the difference, the first one and the second one.
And when you say media, is it like El País, El Mundo? Are they also there or, yeah?
Yeah. Those EFE, for example, biggest news company or agency, Televisión Española, La Sexta, AS, you know, EFE, even EFE, because they're not used to EFE agency, they're not used to covering MMA. So Ilya Topuria said in the press conference, I want to fight Conor McGregor. And they opened the interweb with, he wants to fight Conor McGregor next, which sounds crazy, but they don't really know. And if EFE is going to say that, and it's the biggest news agency, then people are going to follow, right? And they're going to copy what EFE is saying, because they're like, they have a voice. They have a very important and strong voice in Spain. So he's selecting well what he's saying and to who he's saying these kind of things.
Because he knows also that if he says he want to fight Conor, that gets the clicks going also.
Exactly. And people goes crazy. And he's like, he's so sure about this. He was telling me, I posted this on Instagram and he's getting a lot of hate. He said, the way I'm going to beat Volkanovski, he's not even going to deserve the second opportunity, the title defense, because I'm going to destroy him. So if I destroy Volkanovski, who just destroyed the division, who am I going to fight next? Only Conor. Jair, let's not even talk about him. Brian Ortega, come on. Max just lost 3 times against Volkanovski. And I was like, wow, imagine if he loses. But he's so confident that he's going to win. And he's like talking to you while he's looking at into your eyes deeply. And he convinces you. So I'm convinced that he's going to beat Volkanovski, which sounds crazy because Volkanovski is the king of the featherweight division. But he's so sure about it that makes you be sure about it too.
I don't know if you followed the sport when the rise of Conor was, but when you say this, it kind of sounds like Conor because he was so confident about beating Jose Aldo. He had the same approach, the exact same.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting. I don't know which weight class they're going to fight in because Conor is more of a middleweight. So I don't know how many weight classes Ilya is ready to go up, but it would be interesting. But did he say something else? What was it, anything else that stood out for you when you talked to him?
It's just, he's very confident. And he's like, listen, I have been doing this my whole life. I came to Spain when I was 11. When I was like 2 years into high school, I was like, Dad, I'm going to quit high school because, come on, let's be honest, I'm not going to study. I'm going to be a fighter. And he knew this his whole life, you know, before he wanted to make it into the Olympics. Then he found out there was this thing called UFC, and then his dream became to be UFC champion. So it's something that he's always done in his life with a lot of discipline, just working very, very hard every day. He really comes from nothing, like many UFC fighters, but he comes from nothing. So he really knows what it is to work hard and have no nothing, you know, and to work hard for nothing. So he's been doing this for a long time and now he's getting the recognition and he's going all in. That's what he keeps. He says the same really all the time. Every time he talks, he says the same thing, but it's just very strong words he talks.
Yeah. What would it mean for Spanish MMA if Ilya brings home the belt?
I think it would be the final explosion of the Ilia Topuria phenom and what UFC really is, because people are following the sport a lot. And if UFC is going to come to Spain, it's going to be people love sports in Spain. And these kind of events, they're very exciting. So it would mean that the sport is really, really growing here. And I think a lot of people would really want to go. Even people ask me, people that don't even follow the sport, they ask me, is it really going to come and where I can get the tickets? Like, people really want to go to see what a UFC event is. Even if they don't follow the sport, they really want to be there, be a part of it.
Let's see. I'm very hyped.
Let's see if they really do it and they really buy the tickets to go.
I think they would, though. I mean, UFC has been to Sweden several times already. Actually, Joel Alvarez has fought here in Sweden. I met him once. I did commentary when he was fighting. So I think they could. I think the thing is more, where would they do it? To be honest, I think without have been to Spain and talking about MMA, I think they could sell out Bernabeu if they wanted. But I don't know if they would put it there. But I think they actually could. And if Ilya took the title, then that would be really an option. And it's not like England where they have to worry about rain, so it would actually work.
But, no, and actually it wouldn't even matter because Bernabeu, they had a reconstruction roof. They made it even bigger and they can cover it, so it wouldn't be. Now it has around 80,000 assistants maximum, like maybe like 77 thousand, but around 80,000 assistant maximum, but they can make it smaller if they want to, because they're thinking about concerts, tennis, basketball events, and they can cover it and make it a little bit smaller. So that would be the new reconstruction of the Bernabeu. That needs to be finished yet. It's not finished. The stadium is, but making it smaller is a new technology thing that needs to be finished yet. It's not, but UFC is waiting to see if that's going to be an option. They want to do Bernabeu, but it could be covered if they wanted to and with a small number of people there. So I think it would be a really good option. I just heard I know that Hunter Campbell came to Barcelona a couple of weeks ago again. So I'm hoping he's not searching for Barcelona options. I would love to have it in Madrid. But, you know, the thing is, we don't really have that many options in Madrid because we have Bernabeu, which is an option for sure, and within center, which would be ideal for UFC because it's like 12,000, 13,000 maximum, and it's covered. It's got a ceiling. And that would be it, really. And Wisin Center is used a lot for basketball and for concerts. And they don't have many openings during the year. We have also in Barcelona Palau Sant Jordi. So I don't know why Hunter Campbell was going to Barcelona, but maybe it was to explore the options in Palau Sant Jordi because it's similar to Wisin Center.
I'm exciting. If they go to Spain, I got to be in Spain to watch the UFC.
You have to come for sure. Yeah. It would be great. It would be great. We would do a good job, I hope, with Eurosport covering the event. Yeah. And we will try to imitate ESPN, what they do with UFC. Yeah.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm cool. Laura, thank you very much. This was very insightful for me to listen about the Spanish MMA scene. So this has been a really fun interview to conduct with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. No, thank you. It was fun for me too.
And you do a lot of other things. And I told you in the beginning also that there will be people that do understand Spanish. So what else do you do if people want to check out what you're doing? And how can they find you?
You want me to tell in Spanish?
It's up to you, for sure. You can do it.
Oh, okay. If they know Spanish, they can find more content in my Instagram page, laura.fernandez.h, and in my YouTube channel called Vainilla, which you can see here. Vainilla. Follow me there. And I do more MMA content and other kinds of interviews, mainly sports related. So if you want, you can follow me there and learn more about Spanish sports.
Oh, perfect. Once again, thank you very much, and please stay on. I will end the stream, but stay on so I can talk to you a little bit more. Thank you for watching. If you liked what you've seen, don't forget to subscribe to the channel. Och för alla er som lyssnar på svenska, ni vet vad ni ska göra. Dela podden, dela. Hoppas ni uppskattar det här avsnittet, så ses vi snart igen. Ha det bäst.
Champion of the world!